And whatever attitude we take is really our choice. God never forces us to take an attitude. That would violate our free moral agency. Instead, God appeals to our heads and our hearts to see the advantages of developing positive attitudes, which of course includes willingness. Now, it's important to understand that God is not expecting the world to respond to those appeals. Not for the moment, anyway. But he is looking to see how his people respond, those who have made a covenant with him. If I was asked to put willingness into the context of the divine plan, I would put it this way. I would put it in the context of this statement of Jesus in Matthew 22:37-40. There he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Because this law, in a nutshell, is the standard of obligation for God's creation. And it's based on love. So, I would say true willingness then, in the scope of the divine plan, then will be when the entire creation will want to do these without ever being commanded to do so. Their love will be perfected. And they won't need to be told to do it. They'll want to do it because they'll know it's the right thing. That's my view of willingness from the context of the divine plan. But for this to be accomplished, God desires his people to take the lead on this, to prove their willingness now, when it's often a disadvantage to the flesh. He's looking for the kind of volunteer spirit that Isaiah demonstrated when he heard the Lord's invitation, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" And Isaiah's famous response was, "Here am I, send me." That's an example of willingness. Now, we also gave voice to our willingness, if you remember, at our baptism. When we were asked, in some form or another, "Have you made an unreserved consecration of yourself?" When we answered yes, we openly testified that we were willing to accept every condition that that consecration entailed for as long as it takes. But we have to admit that we don't know every condition at the beginning. We know the end result is faithful to it, but to know every turn of the route to that end is not for us to say. It's best to leave the road to that end in the Lord's hand and to view our walk as a means to test our willingness to live up to it, to be found just as willing, if not more, at the end as at the start. We see an excellent example of willingness in the story of Ruth. Her relationship with Naomi is one of mother and child. And that relationship symbolizes a covenant, specifically the grace covenant, or covenant of sacrifice, we call it. So consider that when we read her words spoken to her mother as those of the children of that covenant, which you and I are. We are the children of that grace covenant. We're willingly accepting the terms of that covenant. So look at Ruth's words in Ruth 1:16-17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. where thou diest, I will die. So these words can be ours. They're testifying to our willingness to live up to the terms of our covenant with God. And these words from the book of Ruth have been put to song. Now please notice the red words at the top left. They indicate who sings this verse. Interesting to note that it wasn't just God's desire to have the body of Christ made up of those who were willing. It was actually a commandment. This is shown in the instructions to build the typical tabernacle. In Exodus 35, verses 4 and 6, they read this way. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and etc., 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 all the way through verse 9. Various materials. Now, all of these items were the basic building materials for the tabernacle. Then the following verses offer a similar invitation to actually make the individual pieces that go into it. The tent, the boards, the pillars, the sockets, etc., etc., etc. Now, skipping down to verses 21 and then 29, they read, And they came, and everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they were brought and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing, to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Now, please notice the lesson here. We in this room are engaged in any type of this, the building of the true tabernacle, overseen by the antitypical Moses Christ. He has been commanded to build this building, but we have been invited to be the building materials for this building. And our individual work goes into the specific functions of this building. The invitation to do so went out to all the children of Israel, but it was only those who possessed a willing heart who were expected to contribute. Notice, too, that those who did contribute, their contributions were considered an offering, helping us to visualize that what we're contributing to is the building and functioning of the better tabernacle, which receives the better sacrifices. And the entire process was only for the willing. Those willing to give of themselves to this great endeavor, giving their best to this cause. In practical terms for us, this is the giving of our best to our Master. Several of the individual examples of willingness from the Bible have common elements. One of these is the willingness to leave one place and go to another. Of course, when we do that, it's obvious we must leave behind people and circumstances. And that is half of God's intended meaning, I think. Abraham was told to, quote, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." God went on to make a covenant with Abraham. And I think that's the other half of God's intended meaning. Because through the experiences of several Bible characters, God wishes us to see that in order to make and fulfill a covenant with him, we must be willing to leave our present circumstances. He's willing to give us all the blessings of our new life with him if we're willing to leave our old life behind. That's the arrangement we make with the Father. Moses with Israel, for example, had to leave Egypt in order to enter into the law covenant. And Ruth had to leave Moab to enter into the grace covenant. There's a bad example of not being willing to leave. Abraham's nephew Lot is a great example of being unwilling to leave. When it was time to leave Sodom, and there was disastrous results from that. It's a basic requirement. God is going to take you someplace else. So we have to show our willingness to leave where we're at now when we make that covenant. Another good example of willingness to leave your old life for a new life is Noah. And like Moses and Israel with the tabernacle, he also was involved in a construction project. His willingness had to extend to completing the construction project before he could ever leave. And that project took 120 years, during which time he also preached the truth. And all during that time, Noah knew that he would have to leave his society. But he also knew of its impending destruction. But of course, that's only half the picture, because the ark he was building was the other half of the picture, because it pictured the Christ and the power in him to regenerate and reorganize society. I can only imagine what Noah thought about all this. Many great things are told about Noah, that he walked with God, etc. But while all of these years were going on, what did he think? Well, perhaps he thought, during all his preaching, "I wish I could get these people to understand that it's going to rain." By the way, if you find yourself unable to follow along with this song, please just don't try. But don't worry, God will recognize your willingness to do so, even if you can't.
Among the
To the Corinthians, this is in 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So where much is possessed, much is required. This is true in regards to our material things, or even in our knowledge. It implies responsibility. Great or small, God's acceptance of our offerings depends upon our willingness to give them. And everyone has something to give. Everyone has at least one talent. And whatever that something is, it has to be given from the heart. An example of one who was willing to give of what she had was Mary, who anointed Jesus with a very precious ointment. This is found in Matthew, the 26th chapter. She likely felt limited in what she could do for him and his cause, but she apparently had knowledge of his impending death, making her actions more commendable, because in the words of Paul, the offering was, quote, according to that a man hath. She also found favor with the Lord because he was able to read her heart. She's an excellent example of willingness to us because that alabaster box she carried the ointment in represented her heart. Each of us likewise has one of these alabaster boxes where we keep those precious items that we can anoint the Lord with. The Lord, that is, represented in our brethren. Since we were created in His image, it stands the reason that God is willing to. Few scriptures alluding to the willingness of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise. So what would be our conclusion about God's willingness? If He would, He is a perfect God, so He would have perfect willingness. I would just simply say that God is willing and waiting to fulfill every promise made to those who are willing to seek and serve Him. We have shown our willingness to leave. We've shown our willingness to serve. And He is willing to fulfill every promise made to us. We're going to close this meeting now by singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. But I want you to wait before you start singing until we hear a solo. And then when you see the words on the screen, then you may start singing.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We give thanks for this day of worship and fellowship. In this turbulent, binary world of good and evil, guide our thoughts so that we may conduct our lives in concert with your will. And this day and days that are to come, be with the troubled mind, for we ask these thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen.